Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Nahmadu wa salli ala rasulihil karim ma ba'd. Qala fa akhbirni ana maratiha. Qala anta lidha al-amad rabbataha wa antara al-hufat al-urat al-alat al-ri'a al-sha'a yatatawaluna fi al-bunyan. Ila akhir al-hadith. Continuing the discussion of hadith of Jibreel, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked the question about when Qiyamah will come, to which he responded that the one who is asking the question and the one who is being asked do not have greater knowledge about this. In other words, this is in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I do not know. Thereafter, Jibreel asked, tell me what are the signs of Qiyamah. As I mentioned yesterday, we find that when it comes to the signs of Qiyamah, generally we find emotive speech, figurative speech found in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The wisdom behind this is quite clear, that obviously the period, the first audience of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they were living 14 centuries ago. And the things which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prophesied that will occur before Qiyamah were going to occur many, many centuries later. Obviously with technological advancement, with the environment changing all the time, for the people of that time to have understood would have been difficult. This is why, to make it such that they also can understand and the generations to come after can understand also, figurative speech, analogies were used. The first of these expressions as being the signs of Qiyamah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that the slave girls of my ummah will give birth to their masters. Ulama explained this in this manner, that the disobedience of parents will become rampant in the ummah to such an extent that even the daughters, normally if the sons disobey, that's understandable to some extent, but even the daughters of the ummah will become disobedient to their parents. What is important to understand from this analogy, my respected brothers, is that Allah Ta'ala says, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, that he didn't just say the daughters of the ummah will become disobedient. What he said, they will begin to treat their mothers as if they are slaves. Sahabi comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he asks him that, Ya Rasulullah, tell me what are the major sins? What are the major sins? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Al-Ishraku Billah. To make shirk with Allah Ta'ala is a major sin. Then he said, Ya Rasulullah, after this, what is a major sin? In other words, after shirk, which is the greatest sin a person can commit, after that, what is the major sin? He said, Uququl Walidain. To be disobedient to your parents. This is something that the Sharia looks at in a very, very grave light. Why? Because on the one hand, as we mentioned, huma jannatuka o nar, a person can destroy his deeds, he can destroy his akhirat by being disobedient. On the other hand, his parents are an opportunity for him. A lot of times you get these people asking questions about old age homes. And normally, in Quran and Hadith, when we are cautioned and warned about our parents, particularly, Allah Ta'ala in the Quran mentions, إِمَّا يَبْلُغَنَّ عِنْدَكَ الْكِبَرَ أَحَدُهُمَا أَوْ كِلَاهُمَا. Be very careful about the period when your parents become old. In the Hadith of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, famous Hadith, we read Salman Farsi's Hadith, other Sahaba, about the virtues of Ramadan, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. One virtue was mentioned, or one dua that Jibreel made, to which Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Ameen, was that may that person be destroyed who finds the month of Ramadan and is not forgiven. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said Ameen. In other words, what is the meaning? Why destroy that person? Why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say Ameen to this dua? Destroy that person who finds Ramadan and is fails to be forgiven. Because Ramadan is such an opportunity to gain forgiveness. If he doesn't take advantage of that, then he is worthy of this bad dua. Similar dua, person whose parents reaches old age, person whose parents reach old age, and he fails to gain Allah's forgiveness, the result says, Ameen, such a person should be destroyed. Why? Because this is such an opportunity. Many of us have this mindset, my parents have got old, they are now financially, emotionally, physically dependent upon me. The tables have turned, we were dependent first, now those parents are dependent. So what is the mindset? Because of the challenges of our lifestyle, demands of our wife, children, etc., what happens is we begin to view our parents as a burden. And this is a very, very dangerous mindset. Parents becoming old, becoming financially dependent upon you, are not a burden. They are an opportunity. This is not a burden, it is an opportunity. One Sahabi comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, inni uridul jihad, wala aqdiru alayhi." Youngster. He says, "Ya Rasulullah, I want to make jihad." What was jihad in that time? Going on the battlefield, going through great difficulty, putting your life in danger. I want to make jihad, wala aqdiru alayhi, I don't have the ability. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say to him? Abaqiya min walidayka ahad. Are any of your parents alive? He says, yes. Ummi, my mother is alive. What does Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Fa'abilillaha fi birriha. Fa'abilillaha fi birriha. Exert yourself, finish yourself, tire yourself in the service of your mother. Fa'idha fa'alta dhalik. If you do this, fa'anta hajjun wa mu'tamirun wa mujahid. Allah will raise you as one who made hajj upon hajj, umrah upon umrah, and Allah will raise you as a mujahid. In other words, this is not a burden, this is an opportunity for you. Amongst the galaxy of Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there were two Sahaba that were particularly noted or known for the khidmat that they made of their parents, particularly of their mothers. Aisha radiallahu anha mentions about this. The two Sahaba, one was Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the other was a Sahabi by the name of Harisa bin Nu'man radiallahu ta'ala anhu, an Ansari Sahabi of Medina. Aisha radiallahu anha in great detail mentions the extent to which the Sahabi used to serve his mother. Nowadays, when it comes to khidmat of our parents, many of us tend to transfer the burden or transfer the responsibility of this upon our wives. Many homes, arguments are taking place. You said this to my mother, or you did this to my mother, or you're not serving my mother the way you should be serving. If a wife has to serve your mother, it is her ihsan. It is her ihsan, she will be rewarded for it. But the responsibility of khidmat and service of your parents is upon you, not upon her. Aisha specifically, radiallahu anha, mentions, Harisa bin Nu'man would comb the hair of his mother. He would remove the lice, he would clean the hair of his mother. He would make her khidmat. He would feed her to such an extent that Aisha radiallahu anha says that he would make the morsels of food in his own hand and place it in the mouth of his mother. And such was the level of respect that he had for his mother, that if she was old, if she told him something, because she was old, she had spoken softly, he would not give her the trouble of repeating herself. He would come out respectfully, ask his wife, "My mother said something, please repeat to me what she said. I do not want to ask her to repeat herself." This was the extent to which he had respect and which he made khidmat of his mother. What was the return? What was the badla? What was the recompense? One day Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was his practice at the time of Fajr, after Fajr Salah, that he would relate a dream that he had seen, or he would ask Sahaba ikram if they had seen dreams. So one day like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is sitting with Sahaba. He says, "Nimtu fara'aytuni fil jannah." He said, "Last night I was sleeping, and in my dream, Allah took me to Jannat. Allah took me to Jannat. Fasami'tu sawta qari." Then I heard someone making tilawat of Quran in Jannat. Where is Medina? Where is Jannat? I heard someone making tilawat of Quran in Jannat. So I asked the Sahaba that who is, I asked the angels that who is this person that is reciting, that is making, actually the recitation is in Medina. Someone is reading Quran in Medina and Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam can hear his tilawat in Jannat. So I asked the angels, "Who is this?" They said, "That is your Sahabi Harisa bin Nu'man." And then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kadhalika al-bir, kadhalika al-bir, kadhalika al-bir." It is Harisa's khidmat and obedience to his mother that has given him this darja. Three times he said this, that because of his khidmat and his service to his mother, Allah has raised him to such a level. It is mentioned on one occasion, a youngster is walking in Medina Munawwara. He's walking in front, his father is behind, elderly father, Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala, who sees this. So immediately addresses the youngster. He says, "Who is that person that is walking behind you?" So this youngster responds and he says, "That is my father." What does Abu Huraira say? He says, "You have deviated. You have deviated from the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you have opposed the haq and the truth of Islam. If that is your father, he should be walking in front of you and you should be behind." When you speak, let him speak first. Do not address him first. It is mentioned about Imam Zainul Abidin, the grandson of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Amongst the Arabs, it was common. It was their practice. It was their social norm that they would, when they eat, they used to eat together from one plate, one dastarkhan. But it is mentioned about him that he would never sit on the same dastarkhan or eat or share the same plate as his mother. So someone asked him that, why is it that you don't do this? He said, how can I share a plate with my mother? What happens if her gaze has to fall on a certain morsel of food which I put into my mouth and deprive her of? This was the level or extent to which it was the environment of Medina Munawwara, the understanding in Medina Munawwara of the rights of the parents. One occasion, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, reiterating this point, which I mentioned earlier, that they reaching old age, they becoming financially, emotionally, physically dependent, is not a burden but an opportunity. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on one occasion mentions to Sahaba Ikram the virtue of spending in the path of Allah. And then he says to them, should I not show you something that is more virtuous than the money that you will spend in the path of Allah? Sahaba say, what is that? He says, the money that you will spend upon your elderly parents is more virtuous than the money that you will spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. To terminate on this, like this, there's many, many ahadith, many incidents. We are stressing on this quite a bit because this has become a very, very common problem. I remember not too long ago, one person came to my office, elderly parents, father and mother, elderly. And the mother, with tears in eyes, she says, I pointed to my son and I told him, tu to gaddar nikla. You have become someone who has deceived us. The father was pouring his heart out. The son had gone to the extent of falsifying documents to usurp the rights or the wealth of his own father. So we find, my respected brothers, we are living in a very, very dangerous period. A very, very dangerous time. Very difficult to find any home where the hearts of the parents are not sore or the hearts of the parents are not broken. And yet, if you look in Quran and Hadith, our parents reaching old age, our parents being in front of us, this is an opportunity for us. Many of us are not utilizing this opportunity. Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we know Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's father passed away before his birth. His mother passed away when he was just 6 years of age. Yet, in Medina Munawwara, towards the latter part of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he says to Sahaba Ikram, he says, I wish my parents were alive today. If not both my parents, at least my mother, I would have shown my ummah how I would have served her. And then he gives an example. He says, it would have been Isha Salah. The Imam would have been Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I would have read Surah Fatiha. My mother would have come to the window of the masjid and she would have said, Ya Muhammad, I would have shown my ummah what is her maqam. I would have broken that salah, went to the window and said, Labbaik ya ummah, that, oh my mother, I am present. Command me with whatever you want. Who is saying this? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In order to teach his ummah, this is an opportunity for us. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to take advantage of that opportunity. If our parents have passed away, then the door still doesn't close. It doesn't mean the opportunity is lost. Ulama say, send isale sawab for them. Make dua for them. Read some section of the Quran daily and transfer the sawab of that upon our parents. We can never possibly repay the ihsan. And like we'll see in ahadith later that will come, look after the, in other words, maintain the relationships that our parents had. In other words, if they had respect for someone or they had a relationship with someone, to maintain it after their demise, this is a form of fulfilling their rights. Allah give us tawfiq.